Who's starting? I think it's your turn.
Okay, I'll start.
Oh,
okay.
Go on. He's confident.
I feel great. All right, Rob Warner. Welcome to a Just Ride bonus episode.
Yeah.
We are in... I was about to say Valparaiso, Chile, but...
No, it's... Let me, I've been working on this pronunciation. Yeah. We are in Guanajuato. Oh, I blew it. Wow. Ready? I've been working on this for months.
When the pressure is on.
Oh, Guana, please. Oh, can I have some silence? That was your own fault.
No.
Guanajuato, wow, Mexico. Okay. Guanajuato. That's actually how you say it, I think.
Okay.
Mexican apparently listeners, you tell
have,
me different.
Yeah, apparently you have been practicing. Yeah, drop us a line. podcast@redbull.com. So we're here for the second round of the Red Bull Cerro Bajo series. It was we're still in the commentary booth.
We literally, so just everyone knows if we're a little bit hyper.
Yeah, right.
Because we finished the race probably commentary 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
We did a post show and we've just come back to the commentary position now. So we're like less than 15 minutes out from finishing the race.
And I love I was thinking about this, like the emotion that you see the riders feeling like after an event. I think it's like one of the reasons why I do love commentary is similar to being an athlete in that there is like a performance and you're like, you're always trying to get better. You're always thinking about it. You have to be on. There's no going back or whatever. So
for me, race day today isn't much different. To race day as a commentator isn't that much different to race day as a rider.
Totally.
Except I'd like to think I'm better at commentating. Hopefully, because I was pretty bad at racing. I'm better at commentating. But it's true, isn't it? You wake up early, you sort of get ready, you get nervous, then it drops, and then it builds. Yeah, it's cool. It's great. It's a buzz, isn't it? What a day we had.
Yeah.
And the race today was absolutely exceptional.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, tell me what happened.
Well... We love the street racing because, quite honestly, there's nothing quite as loose on planet Earth. And to see Juan Favelez, you know, this Colombian from Medellin, who dominated last year's Red Bull Cerro Bajo series, he won every qualifier. He had a second in Valparaiso. He won round two, and then he had a flat tire here. And then this year, he's been out with a broken scaphoid from Urbano de Manizales, a big crash he had there. You know, he's been off the bike a couple of months, back on it 2 weeks to come here and win, to put that run down, to take a second out of everybody. He's showing us. To me, this street race series really is actually showcasing and letting us know how good these South American riders
are. That's such a good point, right? Like, we don't really get to see them to go from South America to Europe to race the World Cups and things like that. Is so gnarly,
it's difficult for him,
definitely.
You know, Camilo didn't make it to Red Bull Hardline Tasmania because he couldn't get a visa. It's things like that, you know, it's tough for him,
right?
But when they do get up there, and they will this summer, Velez, Holguin, Sanchez, I think, you know, away from street racing, we're going to see the caliber of riders that they actually are as well on dirt.
Yeah,
they are phenomenal. But getting back to today's race, the key section, the staircase, to see those bikes going down there, just like, you know, obviously they've only got a very small point of contact on the edge of each step, and the way the bikes skate with like blocks of concrete left and right, doorways, walls, and they seem completely comfortable at like 30 mile an hour sideways.
You know what's funny is like, I don't know if everyone knows what a street race is. We're talking about downhill mountain bikes, but then at the same time, you just talked about stair sets and things like that.
That's so right. Let's explain it.
Yeah, so the Cerro Bajo series, typically, I mean, in South America, Central America, Latin America, we do have a round in Italy this year coming up. But the goal really is to go to a city and find one that has some elevation. This one, I think, was 135 meters from top to bottom. And you are coming out, you know, riding downstairs. They build obstacles. There's big jumps. You know, at the bottom, there was, you know, what, like 20 meters? Maybe not quite, 15 meters.
Well, it was more the steepness of the ramp built by Ollie Wilkins and his crew. They were big jumps height-wise. The amplitude on them was massive.
Right, like you said. So, like, they had a build crew, Ollie Wilkins, you know, amazing mountain bike rider, came here 2 weeks, built this course, amazing wall rides. And so it's a completely different style of riding bikes. You know, there's hardly no dirt. There's a couple little sections on this one.
It's 99.9% concrete.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is.
And what has happened is these riders, like especially the Colombians, I think kind of spearheaded by Marcelo Gutierrez, they have developed like their own style and way of riding this stuff. Oh, Rob actually just spilled a Red Bull. I was going to let that slide.
But the spillage is so big that it can't be ignored.
But yeah, so we actually, we see them riding this terrain in a completely unique way, right? Like Juan Fervelas, who won the race, was able to kind of generate speed on these stair sets, you know, riding so wild. You'll have to watch back the replay on Red Bull TV because they're coming down this narrow stuff. It's probably maybe 2 meters wide. And they're going so fast, back in, sliding out, hitting the walls, like pinballing, not letting out of the brake.
Yeah,
like,
it's a different level of risk to me, actually.
Totally.
And, you know, probably almost the most impressive thing about Juan Fervelas' run today and the winning run today, not just the fact he's just come back from injury, though, was like, you know, like you said, really, that he can just generate speed on stairs. And today, like, he was on a downhill bike. We know how quick he is on the steep stuff. The key section was incredibly steep. You know, he whistled through that as expected. But then on the flatter lower part, like, he wasn't pedaling that much, but somehow he was just carrying unbelievable amounts of speed. Now, you know, they do practice riding stairs more than anyone in the Northern Hemisphere could even imagine, these South American riders. But, like, to do it, and is it anything to do with the bike setup as well? Like,
I would say so.
How
do
you set your suspension up to rattle down a staircase? Because,
totally.
You know, I mean, there's something going on there. These guys, they've got it locked. They've got street racing locked down. They own it. The Colombians own it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a interesting kind of proposition because the trade-off that you make, some people ride downhill bikes, some people ride trail bikes. The top two were on downhill bikes. The third place was on trail bikes, so
he's
smaller
travel. He's a brave
travel.
Man, Slavik, isn't he? Hitting those staircases on less travel on an enduro bike. Like, whoa, what are you doing, man?
Exactly.
What are you doing?
And so on a downhill bike, you would say they're not typically as good for the pedaling and stuff like that, but to get a little bit technical for a second, you have kind of two adjustments that you can make. How stiff is the suspension?
Yeah.
And then how fast does it come back up once it compresses, which is your rebound? And on the stairs, because you have all of these little tiny hits, you want a really fast rebound.
Otherwise, the suspension doesn't recover for the next step.
Exactly.
And as you go down a staircase, your suspension compresses and you're left with basically
nothing.
Yeah.
Hardtail.
Yeah, like we called it packing. I used to call the suspension packing.
Exactly.
You know, and that's exactly what it is.
But you have to be incredibly skilled to ride a bike that has fast
rebound.
Because
like
you
a pogo stick.
That's what I was going to say. Like it's like riding a pogo stick down the trail. And so these Colombians, I remember, you know, talking to some of them and to Marcelo, they have completely different shocks, completely different tunes, a much stiffer spring rate. Like if you watch the race back, one of the riders who was incredible is Felipe Agurto.
Cool.
And you watch him jump, you know, stuff to flat, and his bike is so stiff, he's able to take it up. But again, there's always a trade-off, right? You have less traction in the turns. And so all this stuff is, we know how good these riders are because last year we had Jackson Goldstone and he got beat by 2 seconds, right? And so it makes you wonder, like, could they go to a normal downhill race and beat Jackson? Like,
not yet.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's coming. Vela's had a big result, I think a 12th or a 13th at one of the World Cups in Elite last year. So we can see. Hey, and also some news.
Okay.
Maybe I shouldn't disclose this here. But Juan Fervelas is coming to Red Bull Hardline in June, Wales.
Oh,
watch this space.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
And I, for one, I'm super excited to see, you know, the oodles of talent he's got, what he can do there. I really, really am. It's going to be good.
Yeah, because I think with all sports, there's the technical ability of executing the sport, you know, the amount that I train, but there's also a skill of what is the schedule like? Am I used to the traveling? Am I used to the food?
Yeah.
And so like for Wanford to go over to Europe and get a top 15 against the best in the world, it shows you how skilled they really are.
Hey, they you know, they don't speak a word of English as well. Just, you know, but Camilo Sanchez, you know, one of the top Colombians, he turned up at Hardline last year, the one that got cancelled. But you know what? He was there all week. He couldn't communicate with anyone, maybe the Spanish riders. But yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not sure there was any there apart from any Spanish-speaking riders there apart from him. But yeah, it's like, it's a big challenge. It's an awful lot for them to get used to.
It is, yeah.
And they get less opportunity to get used to it. That's
exactly.
That's a fact. So it's important that we get behind these South American riders and get them to Europe.
I love that we're showcasing it. Like every time I... you know, do one of these commentaries, I'm just so excited. It's such an exciting thing. But Rob, I mean, what's it been like for you being in Latin America? What's Mexico been like?
I love Mexico. I absolutely love it. I came down at the end of last year to make a film.
Right.
I spent a lot of time in Mexico City over the years with Red Bull X Fighters. And actually to be out here in Guanajuato is something different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, this is real Mexico. Like, it's this amazing town. It's just, the culture's different. I don't know. I vibe. I buzz
totally.
Off being in Latin America. It's such a different energy, right?
Can I say something?
Go on. What's he coming out with now?
We went out to eat. It's a flower festival. And we were walking to dinner. And, you know, next thing you know, like, a girl comes up with some flowers.
To you? Heartthrob. I can't believe he's brought this up. Heartthrob Elliot.
I have never been given flowers before. And I was just like, this is the highlight
she loved
of my life.
Well, even she kept looking at him and doing a heart sign.
No,
didn't she?
It wasn't about that. I'm just so like, that is the culture, right? Like, it's so... everyone is so warm.
Yeah.
You're
super friendly.
It's super warm. It's so like from the production crew to the people on site, like the fans, like I didn't have any cash and I went in to buy like some chips and stuff like that. And it was right before the show. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have any cash. Like, you know, I'll leave them here. She's like, no, I trust you. You know, just come back. We'll be here until 8 o'clock.
Incredible. Huh?
And I just came back, you know, I gave her some cash and it was like that style, that warmth is so amazing to have.
Yes, it's different. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's so exciting to be here. And the racing kind of reflects that to me. You know what I mean? And for me as well, to see Velez, you know, just in floods. He was in floods of tears here last year because he'd won the series. He didn't even need a result. But he wanted to win the race so bad. And he popped his tire off the rim and he was crying his eyes out afterwards.
Yeah.
And this year, he was crying his eyes out afterwards, hugging Chihuero, his team manager, you know, in floods of tears. That's what I love.
Yeah.
That's what I love about sport and I love about mountain bike racing. I love about downhill, man. They risk it all.
Yeah.
The reward is massive.
It's
absolutely
massive.
Yeah. What a thing to pull off.
Yeah, it is so true. And so... we have a bit of a break. You have any like predictions? Like, what is it going to be like to have an urban downhill in Europe?
Well, I wonder. I mean, I raced Lisbon back in the day in Portugal, the one that started it all.
Yeah.
I don't know what the staircase is, what the hill's like in the undisclosed, I have to say, town that we're going to, city we're going to. But I it's going to be very different to Latin America, to South America, where we are at the moment. It's definitely going to be a different feeling.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are in Italy. It's going to be fairly Latin.
a similar-ish language.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see what the European fans think of it. It's been a long, long time since we've had a street race of this level in Europe. And for the first time ever, actually, I think, in urban downhill, the world's best urban downhillers, the street race specialist, because they don't exist in Europe.
Right.
Savick, you could say a little bit, Laron. I mean, but they're the only two big dogs that are regulars in South America. To see these guys in action, well, you're not going to want to miss it. It's ludicrous.
Yeah,
it is. It's they own. Street racing is South America at the moment.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that.
Totally.
You know, the top pros in North America, the World Cup racers, they don't want to know about it. It's way, way outside their comfort zone. It's far too risky. And I see why.
But
to beat these South Americans, well, there's no question it involves massive risk.
Totally.
That they are very comfortable with. That's how it looks to me anyway.
100%. So everyone, you can tell by like our excitement, like how impressed we are. Like, you should definitely go and watch this race back. And One thing I want to touch on before we go is just that we did do a commentary at Rotorua at Crankworks.
Oh, yeah. We did last weekend, middle of the night in Europe. Yes. 3 a.m. Oh, man. I woke. So we were in the studio. We had to be in the studio for 1:30 in the morning. And we started the live, of course, with the time difference to Rotorua at 3 a.m. But once I got past, I had an hour's sleep, which wasn't enough. Honestly, I was like a zombie walking in that studio. But the race came to life.
Oh, man.
And I thoroughly actually enjoyed that commentary. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, the two things that it made me think about were the kind of young women from New Zealand.
And, I mean, last year when we were down there, I stayed actually with my mate, my ex-teammate from the 90s.
Okay, here we
Darren go. Henderson.
Didn't know you guys had teams back then. You know,
but his partner's daughter races. And I went up the track with him and actually...
Yeah.
You know that huge double in Rotorua?
Yeah, yeah.
Well... His partner's daughter, Bella Birchall, jumped that massive gap.
And
then he had to do it on an e-bike. and he nearly broke both his ankles. Oh, yeah. He was under real pressure from, you know, like...
But it's like 16 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Old,
and the jump just is... casually on a Tuesday night was like, yeah, I'll send that. But that to me blew my mind away, the level. And, you know, again, it's a little bit like some of the Colombian riders we're talking about. It is... It's a long, long way to Europe from New Zealand.
Right. Well, there's
they've got to get
talent.
There because they're going to... This is, to me, they are the next generation. They're coming from the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah. What is... Ellie Holzbosch was... Yeah. She won.
Yeah.
Beat Jess Blewett.
Is she 16 years old only or something?
I think this might be her first year junior, so she's 16 or 17.
Wow. I mean, wow.
Right?
Right?
And to be one of literally the best women in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, top fives, podiums at World Cups. And you're already, you know, at that level. And there was a couple of other women there who were super impressive. And then, you know, as kind of like a New Zealand resurgence, you also had like Lockie Stevens McNabb, who's his junior, is really interesting because Joe Bowman, the team owner of
he's
the
a clever
union.
Man.
Yeah. He's kind of like Billy Beane, like Moneyball stuff where they got a 1-2. How do you find a 16-year-old who can beat Jess Blewett and a 19-year-old who can beat Bernard Kerr and like all of these dudes, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's really amazing. So I'm really excited to see, you know, again, like the Southern Hemisphere, New Zealand come out.
There's no arguing really, is there, to me, that the sport's just getting, it feels... And it's hard to say this because we've been saying it a while, but it still seems to just get younger.
Yeah.
Younger and younger riders coming through and absolutely destroying seasoned pros. Like,
yeah.
I guess, you know, the sport, mountain biking's not that old.
It's not that old.
And we're seeing now, maybe for the first time, you know, or recent times, kids that have probably been on mountain bikes.
Who started
you know,
they
have only
riding,
been on
like,
mountain bikes ever. And that's probably why we're seeing this insane progression, like Jackson Goldstone, for instance.
So, exactly.
Yeah. It's a fascinating time. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it'll be out. This podcast will be out. But one of the things that's happening today is the women's slope style is the first time they're competing. So
I'm going to go and watch it now.
Yeah. I'm really, really excited to see that. They've been training super hard, like, you know, to see that progression, to see them riding the same course as the men. See them doing like Patricia Juwan doing these like backflip no-hander bar spins, like that's all one trick.
It's incredible.
So it'll be great. So now what, we're both off home. We got some more exciting episodes coming up with
the podcast. We have indeed, haven't we?
Yeah. I don't want to give them away.
No, don't give them away yet. Let's get into them.
And there's Race Tape Season 2, Red Bull's 6-part TV show featuring the ins and outs of the 2023 Elite Mountain Biking World Cup Cross Country and Downhill Races. Oh, and it's featuring me as well. I see a little note here that I'm in there. Oh, man. Well, we hope you enjoy these little bonus episodes of us, you know, catching up after we get to, you know, jaunt around the world doing what we love. So.
Doing what we love. I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah,
there's
definitely
nothing better than sitting down and commentating on a race like that.
Totally.
I love it. That's why we do it. Today was incredible. Yeah.
For sure.
What a day.
For sure. Well, as always, make sure that you hit us up and let us know what you like, guests, what you want to see in these little bonus episodes, social, podcast@redbull.com. And Rob, yeah, I mean, that's about it, right?
Yeah, brilliant day. I've loved every minute of it, and I'm going to go and lie down now and go to sleep, which is what I always do after any commentary.
Okay. You deserve it.
I do. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. You too. If you want to have a nap, don't feel guilty.
Okay. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks a lot. See you soon.